turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29 and verse 11 this morning. Randy, I'll send somebody back to get the kids back in here before we do our mother presentation. Aren't our children sweet in church? Knows I said sweet in church. They just keep on coming. Good gracious. Thank you, ladies. We're going to talk this morning about position for a purpose. The older I get, the more I learn, and I really believe that. I believe that every season of my life, every step, every circumstance is positioning me for a purpose. And what God revealed to me over here yesterday as I was preparing this, it just clearly came to me that we've got to quit focusing on our position and start focusing on our purpose. That's what we focus on, our position, isn't it? Our down and out position, our defeated position, our unwanted circumstances. We focus on that. And as I was meditating, I just felt the Lord just so powerfully speak to me, stop focusing on your position and focus on your purpose. We're going to talk about and use examples of men in the Bible, people in the Bible, women, whoever, so don't get upset, whoever get to. But we're going to read about people in the Bible that were in unwanted circumstances. Nobody probably wanted to be where they were, but God had them there for a greater purpose. And so sometimes our unwanted circumstances is exactly where God wants us to be, and we just don't like that. Because, man, we love the happy gospel, right? As far as, you know, the happy message of, you know, everything is good, man. Dude, man, everything's right where I'm at. Feel the energy, man. Well, that ain't how the real Christian world is. Yeah, the real person. You know, Doc's back here thinking, I wish I get some of that energy because I ain't feeling nothing up in here. I ain't feeling what y'all feeling. I need some Holy Ghost energy up in here. So, you know, it's amazing that we seem to think that because we're in a bad situation that God has abandoned us or God has left us or God's forsaken us or that God's not in it. Man, God is right in the fire with you, I promise. Look at Jeremiah 29:11. It's out of the Amplified version, so unless you have an Amplified Bible, it won't match exactly what you have. But it's on the screen. For I know the thoughts and the plans I have for you, says the Lord. He knows the thoughts and the plans he has for us. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. Hallelujah. That's God's plan, that we have a future full of joy and peace and a victorious outcome. Now, he didn't say the journey wouldn't get hard. He didn't say the journey wouldn't be tough. He didn't, when he saved Joe Brown back in his 30s, or late 20s, whenever he got saved, he didn't tell Joe Brown, Joe Brown, I'm saving you, and you'll have no more problems, and no more issues, and no more pain, no more sorrows, no more heartaches, because you're my child now. Joe Brown's been through more than all of us in here know, but yet he faithfully walks in here through his pain, physical pain, emotional pain, his own anxieties and worries and fears, and he worships God. He pushes through his circumstance, understanding it's not about the position that I'm in, it is about the plan God has for me, and that's all that matters. So we got to be very real about where we're at. You know, Mercy Me, and I've watched your video, Mercy Me has a song out. It's called Even If. And I heard a story behind it. The lead singer of Mercy Me has a son who was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at 2 years old. And now he's 15, but still diabetic, praying, of course, believing, but still diabetic. And he wrote this song, Even If. It says, God, I know that you can, but even if you don't, I'm still going to praise you. We got to get to the point that if we don't see our circumstance change, we still praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He giveth and he taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. He doesn't change on my circumstance. He's the same God and King forever. I can praise him through my sickness. I can praise him through my pain. I can praise him when I'm victorious. I can praise him when I'm depressed, because he's still God and he doesn't change. Even if, God, you don't answer the prayer the way I'm praying, God, I'm still going to trust you, because you all my hope is in you. And I'm thankful for that. Jeremiah gives us this prophecy of what the plan God has for us to give us a good outcome. Sometimes the outcome comes out of bad circumstances. I mean, there's things in our life. You ever had something tragic in your life happen or bad, and you took it as a curse, and you look back later as you get past it and you realize, if that hadn't happened, this wouldn't have happened. Think about how things are like that. You know, I was dating a girl that I thought I was going to marry before I met Melanie. I really did. And we broke up. And it was a hard breakup. I cried. Like a big old fat little baby, I cried. Like a little whiny girl, no offense, I cried. I boo-hooed and boo-hooed. I was on a dog food aisle stocking one day and just started crying. My manager came by and said, "Man, what's wrong with you?" I was heartbroken, man. But you know what happened after I broke up with this girl? Sorry. And I was the one that broke up with her. I had to. It's a God thing. I had to. That's what's hard. God spoke to me to break up with her because of things, and I didn't want to, and I fought God. And I remember breaking up with this girl. I'm sitting there crying in front of her. "I'm sorry, I got to break up with you." I mean, I really did. And I remember I was so heartbroken. And then about 4 months later, 3 to 4 months later, here comes the 17-year-old, 100-pound, ponytail-wearing Melanie, bopping in the food line as a new cashier. And I got that grin like Uncle Scar on Lion King. Really? Oh, yeah. God answered my prayer. I was heartbroken. In my heartbrokenness, in my despair, I know some of you may think, look, I took this for real, because I really, you know, it really was an emotional thing for me with this other girl. And when Melanie came along, in my heartbrokenness, God sent. See, God took away and he gave. He took away what wasn't right for my life, and he brought what was right into my life. Sometimes when God removes things, it's not because he's being a big bad God. Like when you take your toy from your kid. "I don't like you, mommy. I hate you." You know, whatever. That's not how God's acting. God is taking things away from you because of this verse. He knows the plans he has for you. And guess what? Where you're at, or what you had, is not part of his plan. So he takes it out of the way to get you to where he wants you to be. I want to go through some examples this morning. I want to start with Moses. Think about the story of Moses. We know the story of the children of Israel as they crossed over, as they were making their exodus out of Egypt. And they were on their journey, and everything was going good until they got to the Red Sea. And the Red Sea was a block for them. They couldn't go any further. As they look back, here come Pharaoh's army chasing after them. Here are 2 million people that are trapped between a Red Sea and an army of soldiers. Where do they go and what do they do? And the first thing they did, which most of us would do, I know we would, they threw up their hands and says, "My God, Moses, really? The great deliverer." Psh, yeah, you should have got a different map, because here's the Red Sea and here's Pharaoh. Yeah, sure, you heard from God. Did God tell you we'd be pinned between two enemies? Did God tell you it's drowned or be stabbed? Did God tell you that? Think about how they were just complaining immediately without any trust that God had a plan greater than their own agenda. And as they were trapped between two impossible situations, Moses said this. He raised up his staff. He said, "Stand still and see the salvation of Gordon." No. See the salvation of your great Moses, the long bearded one, the ZZ Top of 2000 BC. No, he did not say that.
Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Of the Lord. It's not me delivering you. It is God Almighty is going to deliver you. Hallelujah. And when Moses raised that, stood that staff up and began to say those words, all of a sudden a great wind came and the Red Sea began to divide, and what was a barrier for their demise became an escape for their victory. God used what was binding them and set them free with it. He wanted to teach them something. You got a long journey ahead of you. And on this journey called life, it ain't about one person that's going to be your deliverer. It's about me. They shall have no other gods before you but me. All the trust should be to me and nobody else. And he was teaching them that moment. So their circumstance looked dire and it looked bad. It looked like poor leadership at the time. But man, it was exactly where God wanted them. Because you know what happened after they crossed the Red Sea? You know the rest of the story. Pharaoh's army came after them. Giddy up. Then all of a sudden, the waters that held up for the Israelites collapsed upon the Egyptians and destroyed their enemies. The chase was over. They were gone. God has us in circumstances we don't always agree with. There's two characters in the Bible I love, and I just connect with these two characters. One is David, one is Joseph. Joseph had a really bad rap. Now, Charles, you'll appreciate this story. Joseph had a bad rap. He was in Potiphar's house one day. He was, you know, kind of a head servant or whatever in Potiphar's house and had a position. And Potiphar's wife came to him, tried to tease him, tried to get him to, you know, her husband was away. When the cat's away, the mouse will play. Is that what it says? Yeah. So he went to Joseph. Joseph, come on, lie with me. He said, I can't sleep with you. Your husband's putting me in charge of the household. I've got a position of authority and honor, but I can't touch you. I can't have you. She kept on and kept on trying to seduce him to lie with her. And Joseph, the Bible says, ran from her. Physically had to try to get away from her. And as he did, a piece of her garment was ripped. So she blackmailed Joseph. She went to her husband when he came home. Can you imagine her waiting up at night till he got home? I don't know when he got home. She's sitting there in that recliner chair waiting. You wait. I'll get that, Joseph. Won't sleep with me. Man, women can be scornful. Don't make a woman mad, I'm telling you. I can see her rocking in that chair. You wait, that boy. I'll have his hide. You wait. Joseph, what's wrong with me? Am I too fat? I got a new dress. He didn't say, whatever she was trying to justify. She's sitting there. She's mad. So when he gets home, husband, look what your servant. And she even called him, she slang named him. It would be considered us saying certain things today that would be very offensive. She slang named him by saying, this Hebrew you brought up in this house. This Hebrew you brought. He tried to seduce me. Look what he did. Tried to rape me. Oh, of course the husband believed his wife. Who wouldn't, right? He got Joseph, threw him in prison. There Joseph sat in prison for 2 years. As a really innocent man. Charles, he was really innocent, brother. He was really innocent. And he sat there for 2 years in prison. I wonder what he was thinking those 2 years. Okay, God, I did the right thing. And I get charged and I'm in prison for doing the right thing, for honoring you, God, for not touching her. Are you serious? And I make a joke about this, but you got to wonder, do you think, man, I should have slept with her if I'm here anyway. But you know what? I didn't, God. And here I am, 2 years, I'm sitting here, rotting away, and I'm innocent. But something happened. God was positioning Joseph exactly where he wanted him to be for a purpose. Because in that prison with him were two other people that were very important to his life. A cupbearer and a... Who was the other one? A baker? A candlestick maker? Huh? Yeah, baker, right? Yeah. So anyway, there's two of them. And they have dreams. And they couldn't interpret it. Had dreams and they couldn't interpret it. Well, Joseph interpreted their dreams. And their dreams came true just like Joseph said. One of them died. One of them got restored back to the palace. So one day, the king had a dream. Pharaoh had a dream. And he couldn't interpret it. He called all of his witches and sorcerers and, you know, Harry Potter friends and all those folks. And they could not interpret at all his dream. So he said, why can't nobody interpret my dream? Well, then the cupbearer who got restored remembered Joseph. He said, Pharaoh, old master, king, there was a guy in prison I was with who interpreted me and the other guy's dream perfectly and it came to pass. Maybe he can help you. So sure enough, here comes the moment where God's purpose is about to be revealed. They bring Joseph out of prison, put him before the king. The king tells Joseph his dream. Joseph interprets, gives him exactly what the dream is about. The king receives that as truth, puts Joseph in charge of carrying out the task at hand from the dream, and promoted him to second in command of Egypt, right under himself. No one was higher in the land except Pharaoh. Joseph went from a prisoner to a prince because God was positioning him for a greater purpose. Sometimes in our circumstances, we want to just give up because we're in our circumstance. This is where I'm at. I don't like being defeated. I don't like being depressed. I don't like, you know, where I'm at. But you know what? Where we're at is not as important as where we're going to go. That's not as important as where we're going to go with it. Because where we're at doesn't mean we stay where we're at. It means we turn the page and move forward to where God wants us to be. What's the next line in my story? What's the next chapter in my book? Then we go to David, which I love David for many reasons. But King David, before he became king, oh, he's about 17 years old, probably 18 years old. I mean, he wasn't no older, about, you know, about Ashley's age. And by chance, we say by chance, but it was by God's providence. His daddy Jesse said, David, take some food, take some cheese, take some bread, and give it to your brethren. They're out fighting in battle. He gave him an errand to run. That's all it was to be, a little errand. Just take some food to your brothers. They're out there fighting. Okay, Dad. As he's taking the food to his brothers, he hears talk going all around him about this giant named Goliath, who is making accusations against the children of Israel, who says, who's going to fight me? And David's hearing everybody be afraid and nobody stepping up to the task. He hears this. He hears his brothers with fear. They're afraid to fight him. Nobody wants to fight him. And David hears this. So when he hears this, the little errand boy, just taking cheese and bread to his brothers, rises up and says, I'll fight him. I know it's a real story. I know it's really happened. There's no doubt about that. But I always associate that. I always think about Scrappy Doo when I think about David. And I'm really telling my age because a lot of y'all don't know. Michael York don't know who Scrappy Doo is, I'm sure. Do you? You know who Scrappy Doo is? Okay. So Scrappy Doo, Scooby Doo's little nephew. Remember Scrappy's always ready to fight? Scooby's always a big fat chicken. Ghost? I don't fight no ghost. Come on, Raggy. You know, he was always, and little Scrappy. Come on, Uncle Scooby. I'll get him. We'll knock him out. That was David, man. All of Jesse's other sons were Scooby-Doo. And here comes David. I'll get him. I'll get him. I'll get him, Daddy Jesse. Let me get him. I'll go fight that giant. Man, he was full of vigor to fight. Why? It wasn't that he was all that. It wasn't that he was stronger or greater or mightier than his brethren. It was that he knew who he served. He had faith in the God he believed in and knew it wouldn't be him fighting the battle, but God fighting the battle. We got to realize it's God who fights for us, not us. It's God that fights for us. So David was positioned by God to run a food delivery to his brothers for the very purpose of positioning him to step into the ring and fight the giant. And as Paul Harvey says, the rest of the story, we know. Because he got promoted to king and his life bloomed from that point. He had trouble and trials, but his life changed. In that one moment of him being positioned to just take food to his brethren, that's all that was. And God used it for a greater purpose. Daniel has two great stories. The book of Daniel. Daniel 3 talks about the three Hebrew children. Fiery furnace. We know the story. The three Hebrew children in a pagan nation that refused to bow to the gods of that country. And when the music sounded, they didn't bow. There was a thing going on in that land that when they came together ceremonially, they would make all this noise. And when they made this noise, everyone would bow. It was the worship hour, so to speak. But these three men refused to bow. And here they were, standing their ground. The king saw they weren't bowing. He came and gave them a second chance. It's where Mercy Me's got part of this in their song, actually, that part. He... he said, I'll give you a second chance. When you hear the music again, you know, when you hear it again, then bow, and all's forgotten. And they said, King, we don't have to think about it. We're not even careful to answer you. I ain't got to think about it. We're not going to bow. So whatever you play it 10,000 times, we're not going to bow. Whatever you got to do, you got to do. But either way, if God delivers us or don't deliver us, we're out of your hand. Boy, that made them mad. That made them mad. He took them boys, threw them in a, heated up the fiery furnace, the Bible says, cranked that thing up, threw them in there, closed the door. It was so hot, the soldier that threw them in was immediately killed. Well, there's a little window in that door you could look through to see inside, and the king looked in there. He said, how many men we throw in there? Said, did we throw in three? Yeah, we threw in three. He said, well, I see four. And it resembles the Son of God. Oh, my gosh. They come out of that fire. And I know a lot of folks discount this, not being true, not being story. You're a Southern redneck hick, all that. I get it. That's okay. The fool says in heart, there is no God. That's all I got to say. He brought them three men out. The Bible says they didn't even stench of smoke. They didn't even smell like smoke. They weren't touched. They weren't burnt. They weren't harmed. God positioned them in the middle. I mean, how fair does that seem? Can you imagine Angela, Mom, Barbara, you know, the three sisters are sitting there, and, you know, the guy says, if you don't bow, I'm going to throw you in a fire, and they're sitting there, and we're not going to bow. Then all of a sudden that door opens, that heat's cranked up, and y'all going in. And here's Barbara saying, Diane, we might rethink this thing. No, Barbara, we're standing for Jesus. Anna said, I agree with Barbara, Diane. No, Anna, be quiet. I'm the oldest. We're standing for Jesus. And here they are. You know they had to be a little afraid. We all would be. They were positioned in a point of torment and death for a greater purpose. Because when they came out, remember what the old king said? He didn't say that he converted or that he believed, but he did say this. He promoted them for one thing. They got promoted in the kingdom. And he says, anybody that talks about their God, you'll be destroyed. Woo! Think about that. Man, how things changed. God had a greater purpose. Then Daniel in the lion's den, another beautiful story we know of you know, praying, knowing he was going to get arrested. He knew the plan. Daniel, thank you. Daniel knew the plan that if he got caught praying, he'd be throwing the lions down. He didn't stop praying. He kept praying. They caught him. They caught him praying, took him to the king. King had honor's order, threw him in the lion's den. He stayed there all night long. He came out of the lion's den once again, unharmed, unscathed. Guess what? He got promoted too. And also, Daniel's God also was spoken well of by the king. A greater purpose for their position. I don't want to go through a lion's den for God to show his glory. Do y'all? I'd rather be walking on the beach and God just show me through an ocean wave. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Oh, I feel the spirit up in here. Woo! Holy Ghost power. Thank you, Jesus. But sometimes it ain't quite that way. Man, sometimes we're in the lion's den when God shows us something. Sometimes we're in the middle of the fire when God shows us something. Sometimes we're in a prison cell when God shows us something. But God positions us. Charles even told me that. He said, I know I was where I was supposed to be the last 7 years for God to help me and show me where I needed to go from here. God knows where we need to be. God knows every season we're supposed to be in. God knows every purpose and plan he has for us. And sometimes we just don't like the process of going through it. But you know what? If the process leads to the plan, then process on. Hit the blender and process it on. Because, man, I want to be, God, where you want me to be, no matter how hard or how tough that is. Zacchaeus, found in the book of Luke. You know Zacchaeus, the old tax collector, who was crooked, who was bad. He climbed a tree one day because he heard Jesus was coming. Climbed a tree. Zacchaeus was positioned in a place for Jesus to see him and to call him by name. How many of us would climb a tree to see Jesus? Man, we won't get out of bed on Sunday morning to see Jesus, much less climb a tree to see Jesus. And this wasn't just this was a politician. This was a tax collector. This was a man of the community. This was a man that was well respected, a man of great dignity, even though he was a crook. Here's this tax collector. Can you imagine an IRS guy being up in your tree when you get home? Pray to God that don't happen. Lord, here's an IRS guy up in your tree. What are you doing here in my tree? I just want to see Jesus. Thank God. I thought you wanted to see my tax returns. Hallelujah. I can show you Jesus. Zacchaeus was positioned for a greater purpose. Him and his whole household were saved. And not only that, but Zacchaeus went back and restored all he had ripped off, which means that the effect of Zacchaeus being positioned right affected the ones he ripped off. They also received the blessing. See how that trickled down? It was other people that also received the blessing of God because Zacchaeus was right where God wanted him to be at that time. And then the Samaritan woman. I love the story of the Samaritan woman because, man, we got a church full of people, or not this church, but churches full of people that are so judgmental based on where somebody's been or what they've done or even where they're at right now. Here's a Samaritan woman who happened to come to the well one day to get water, to draw water out of a well. And Jesus passed her way. This is not no accident, church. This was a on-purpose planned visitation. The Samaritan woman told Jesus when he started talking to her, says, "What are you doing talking to me, a Samaritan? What are you doing associating with me, a Samaritan?" We as Christians should never, ever be that way towards someone else. There are still churches telling certain folks, "You don't belong here. There's another church better for you that fits kind of you." Should never be that way. The rich, the poor, whoever. This Samaritan woman began to talk to Jesus, and he offered her something she never had before. And she was a bad girl. Now, you know, I know we're raised certain ways. I know in the South, if you're born and raised, how many born and raised Southerners do we have in here? Raise your hand. If you're born and raised in the South. If you weren't born and raised in the South, raise your hand. Well, no, Florida's not a southern state. No, that's not southern either. Well, that's southwest. Here are the southern states, okay? Virginia, Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas, Georgia, Louisiana. Okay, anything else ain't south. All right. Florida's not a southern state. Sorry. Anyway. Go visit Florida and see how. I bet you couldn't find 10 people in an hour that were born there. All right. I've been there. I know I can't find nobody. I can barely find someone that speaks my language in Florida, much less born in the South. So, with that said, here's this woman, a Samaritan, who had been with 4 or 5 men, the Bible said. And the one she was with now wasn't her husband. We would call that today, shacking up. She was shacking up. And had been shacking up. She shacked up with John, shacked up with Tim, shacked up with Dan, shacked up with, I ain't gonna say James, Charles, shacked up with all these people. And now, Jesus says, the one you're with now is not your husband. Oh my gosh, you're really a prophet. He said, I want to offer you something that you don't have right now. Forgiveness. Eternal life. Redemption. You can be clean, as that song Jewel sung. And she was so excited. You mean I can have what you're offering? Yes. She went and told her family, and her life and her family's life was changed because she was positioned at the well. The well led her to everlasting life. Her circumstance of living her whole life from man to man with no life at all of a sudden changed in a moment and an instant when God's purpose was fulfilled in her life. I'm thankful, church, for every season of our lives. Without those seasons, we wouldn't be where we are. You know, Anna has years ago had cancer at one time, and that's been how many years, Anna? 26 years battle cancer. So, she was pretty young then. She's still pretty young. But she was pretty young back then. And, that's a long time ago. And I'm sure Anna didn't enjoy that season of her life. I'm sure you wouldn't recommend it to nobody, would you? Oh, go through cancer. It's great. You wouldn't recommend it. But it was a season of her life that God brought her out of. And now she looks back at that and says, man, I was here. And God healed me. God kept me. God restored me. God let me live. What a testimony. Our seasons have testimonies. You don't think Moses, remember what God said that Moses, the Bible says to keep telling every generation of all the great works of God? You don't think Moses and all the children of Israel and all the people that crossed over told the, you know, we tell stories like this. I remember being at my grandma Minton's house preaching in a banana, fake banana to teddy bears in the living room. That's a great memory, right? And I really did that. I would set up stuffed animals in my grandma's bedroom, fake banana, preach to them, lay hands on them, pray over them. They got healed. All of them got healed, by the way. And I prayed for them, you know. And that's a memory. That's great. But, man, they had memories like this. As they crossed, the ones that crossed over and experienced that could tell their children, and they told their children, God delivered us out of 400 years of slavery. And we got to the, we were marching out, and we was in front of this big body of water. And then Pharaoh's army's coming after us, and we had nowhere to go. Oh, Mom, Dad, what'd you do? Well, the man called Moses that God raised up to use the prophet raised his staff, and God blew those waters back, and we escaped, and he swallowed up our enemies. He's talking about a testimony. They didn't want to be there. Daniel didn't want to be in a lion's den. Shadrach didn't want to be in a fiery furnace. None of these people wanted to be there. I'm sure David's desire wasn't to be in front of a 9-foot giant with just a slingshot, but you know what? God had them positioned for greatness for a purpose. And he does you too. Trust that and believe that, that the process you're going through now is all going to yield a greater purpose. Go back to my title page, Brandon. That God positions you for a purpose. You know, Dee Lee used to sing in our home church that I grew up in Wilkesboro, as a little girl. I remember her as a little girl, 4 or 5 years old, on the stage of my home church. And this has been just 10 years ago. But it's been a few years ago. And she used to sing that song, I am a C, I am a C-H, I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. She used to sing that song. She was a little girl. I'm about 17 years older than Dee. 16, 17. So, you know, she was singing that song. I was already about 20 years old. And I remember hearing her, seeing her sing. And all these years later, here she is now at this church singing songs here. The 20-year-old that saw her sing is now her pastor here. It's amazing how God brings things together. It's really, truly amazing. So don't always grieve the process. I want to close with just saying this. Stop looking at where you're positioned as much and start looking at the purpose behind the position. Okay, I don't like being here. It stinks. It stinks being where I'm at right now. But you know what? What's the purpose, God? Let me be purpose-minded so I can go where you want me to go and be what you want me to be. Amen. Father, we ask that this word of God has been taught today, get into our hearts. Lord, we don't always like the process. We definitely don't like the pain. We don't like the dark times we're in. We don't like the bad seasons we have to endure. We don't like any of that, God. But we know you're in every dark season with us. You're in every battle with us. You're in every moment of pain with us. You're there. You've not left us or forsaken us. I pray for strength today for your people, for all of us, that we'll have a newfounded strength, Lord, that we will look at our purpose you have and not always our position. Let us be purpose-minded, God, this morning, to just have joy no matter what we're facing, and bless your name no matter what we're going through. We thank you for that, God, and we give you praise and we give you honor for it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Keep going, church, no matter what you're facing. Keep praising the Lord. He is good and he is worthy. I'm going to have all the moms come up here. And Melanie, come on, get your song pulled up. I'm going to have Melanie. As you're making your way up, come on up. If you're a mother, don't be bashful. Get up here. Come up here and line up in front of the altar.